Trinity Baptist Church, a community growing in faith, obedience, and joy.
As we continue thinking about how and where we connect and what it means to belong here, I just wanted to talk to Beth and Shadia. They're two people who can offer some great insight. And so, Beth, you're the director of worship arts here at the church. You were not always the director of church of worship arts. When you were born, your parents did not give you that title. So somehow that happened. I don't know, but you do. Could you tell us how you first got involved in the worship ministry here, and how did that involvement impact you?
Sure. Well, you know, Roy and I moved here from Texas 20 years ago. We were actors. That's what brought us to the big city. And we started visiting Trinity. I know, he better not have a picture of us back then up there.
Please do.
Oh, no. We started visiting. I had really big hair. we started visiting 98, y'all. And I wandered into choir really shortly thereafter, just looking for someplace that I could sing without pressure. I just wanted someplace where I could have a voice, you know? We were in our 20s. We were newly married, and we were completely untethered in that starving actor temp job world in New York. I don't know how many of us are still in that place, but that's where we were. Here, not only did we find our voices, but we found our tribe. And some of the people that we ran with in that tribe 20 years ago are still running with us and singing with us and serving with us today. We have literally grown up together. And ultimately, I think that's why we're all here. We're all here to find our tribe and to grow together as disciples of Jesus.
All right. That's beautiful, man. I like that. Find our tribe. Well, could you just give us a quick overview of what all is inside of Worship Arts?
So here's the deal, y'all. I have been given a very short time to get through everything that has to happen for Sunday morning to happen. I'm getting there. So I'm just going to tell you, you have something in your bulletin that has all this information in it as well, okay? But here we go. Worship is not just music. Amen? Amen? And you can let those people in back there. It's all right. I'm not praying. They can come in. In fact, worship begins right back there at the front door with our front door ministry, greeting folks as they enter the building and helping them navigate the experience from the ground floor. We also have communion servers who guide us in our common union each week, bringing us deeper into Christ and into one another at the table. I have notes. If you are more of a behind-the-scenes kind of person, I know my friend Mercedes would love help every Wednesday afternoon. You can find Mercedes and her helpers downstairs lovingly preparing the communion elements that we receive each week. And every Sunday afternoon, you'll find another team lovingly cleaning them up, and they would always love help with that. Peter Canapa leads our counters team. That's another behind-the-scenes opportunity for you detail-oriented folks. They get to count the money after the second service every week. And some of you may not know that our prayer team is praying for us, not only after the service, but during the service. Every service, there's a prayer team upstairs praying for us as we worship. They also lead extended times of corporate prayer every Wednesday. I think it's at 12:30 here in the sanctuary, and every Thursday evening at 6:30. We are currently setting up auditions for new worship team members. We want to hear singers and instrumentalists. We want to see what we got. Singers and instrumentalists, there's info in the bulletin about setting up interviews and auditions. But hey, if audition is a scary word, you need not worry about choir auditions. Choir has no auditions. It's a low-pressure entry point to meet new people and be a part of the team. And I want to say this because I see our youth up there. Youth are invited to choir. Also, by the way, to audition for worship team, so as you know. Yes, we will lead worship as a choir once a month during the holiday seasons as well, and our first week starts 2 weeks, the 20th of September. We'll rehearse and we'll lead worship on the 24th. So put that on your calendar. You just got to show up. Speaking of teams, are you ready up there? The AV Tech team offers you the chance to be in the booth where it happens. Yeah? for those of us who love technology and feeling of power. There you go. I got two more, y'all. We got a songwriters collective working on giving a unique voice to Trinity's worship. How many of y'all know the Bible tells us to sing a new song? And we have been doing that here at Trinity in this season. This fall, we'll be meeting for 3 weeks in September and October to work through an introductory songwriter course together and also to hear some of the material that our songwriters have already been working on. So whether you've been with us or it's brand new to you, this is a great entry point. And finally, as many of you know, Trinity NY is now its own record label. So we will release Metanoia, which is a collection of original worship songs recorded by our singers, band, and choir this fall. So be ready, because now we're going to ask you to help us take the worship back out. All right? And that's all I got. It's all in your bulletin tag.
Wow, that was a lot. That's awesome. Okay, so plenty to think about, absolutely. But then to my left is Shadia. My wife Cindy and I were in a small group in Shadia's apartment one fall. What a fabulous hostess. If you get the chance to hang out with Shadia, you're going to be blessed. So, Shadia, you're involved in a ministry called The Walk, right? Now, that's something it seems like everybody knows how to do, but I think it's more than just walking. So, could you tell us how you got involved in The Walk and maybe what it is?
Yeah, so The Walk was started in 2014. I was birthed out of a desire to build community for people in their 20s and 30s at Trinity. I came here in my 20s, and I knew from my experience coming right out of college and being involved in a church in the West Coast where there's a place to plug in and connect, I grew so much in my faith, and I wanted to make sure we had that opportunity here at Trinity. And you come to New York, and this is a city where you have people coming in and out at all the times, and we don't want to just come in and out on Sundays. We want to be able to connect to each other in a deep, meaningful way. So really, I talked to James and got a couple other people together and reached out, and we started this organization, which has become a ministry because we really want to walk out our faith, and we do social events and also community service, but really the idea is to grow together and for this to be a place where you can come and be whole, and it's not your outside life and your church life, but really this is a place where being part of the Christian community is your life. So that's how it gets started.
Okay, wow, beautiful. And so, I mean, you sort of hinted at this and what you just said, but how has being involved in The Walk changed you and others that are part of it?
I think for me, really, just thinking about what it means to be a Christian and living that out in an authentic way and really growing together and having community. What does community look like? We use that term so much, and it's so easy to throw it away. This is a picture from some of our walk events, but really to try and create that. It doesn't happen naturally in a city like New York, but it's been really beautiful getting to meet new people and have people come together and really own something together. It's not coming from the top. This is a grassroots because there's really a desire and need to create this and create that space and time in New York. Just some words from other people in the leadership team. Someone said, by attempting to foster a community of believers in our age demographic here at Trinity, I think I've actually expanded my community. I think by organizing more events for people to fellowship and discuss how to live out a Christian walk as a believer in the city, you end up cultivating deeper relationships with others. Another person said, being a part of the Walk leadership team has deepened my connection to Jesus, expanded my friendships, and brought me to so much joy in being an important part of our Trinity family.
Wow, beautiful. All right. Went to bounce trampolines.
Yeah, we didn't know it was mainly kids, but it was still great.
How awesome. Oh, man, are you kidding? That looks
Melissa
like so
Brown
much fun.
Is very, a very great bouncer.
Wow, that's beautiful. Just briefly, what do people need to know if they want to get involved with the Walk? How do they do it?
It's really easy. We're always looking for people to get involved. You can just sign up on our email list. Downstairs after service, you can sign up. If you want to just find out what's going on, attend some events. We have apple picking coming up soon. We have an event today. We're going to watch the documentary 13th and really talk about what that looks like as Christians, social justice perspective. And you can just email us, and we'd love to have you and have your help any way that you're available.
All right, beautiful. That's so nice. So, yeah, thanks very much. And I've got two new friends. How awesome, yes. And so to my left is Cindy Palika. Sometimes when I talk about my wife, Cindy, yeah, I know, she's awesome. She's awesome. Sometimes I talk about my wife, Cindy, and I think people get confused. That's a different Cindy. I'm married to that one. This is just my friend, Cindy, but she's awesome. And so, Cindy, You are the director of children's ministry. You have not always been. There was a day when you were not. And that's hard for some of us to believe, actually. It's like, what? I thought she was the very first director of children's ministry in the world. Please share with us how you first got involved in children's ministry here, and how has that involvement impacted you?
Okay. Well, Ross is correct. I was not always the children's ministry director at Trinity. I was one time just a plain old congregant like you guys. And one day in one of my small groups, a woman who was here for a year because her husband was doing a fellowship made a comment, and she was just making an offhanded remark that she was a leader. Now, she was only going to be here for a year, but she said that she felt very much that you bloomed where you were planted no matter how long the season. And that was really impressed upon me because at the time, I was involved with Trinity, but I really wasn't serving the way I probably should have been. And I really thought about it. And she also said that if we all waited until somebody else did it, we'd all be waiting a long time. And so I decided at that time our children's ministry program was very, very small and pretty unformed. And I had children, and I was always leaving it to somebody else to do. And so I thought, no, I need to be involved, and I need to take my part in the role. And so I started volunteering, teaching the second and third grade class. And I guess somebody saw something in me because about a year later, they asked me to come on board to really develop the children's ministry program as we know it today at Trinity. So that's how I got involved. And I think the lesson here is that I'm no different than anybody else, and we are the body of Christ, and this is all of our church. And so we all have to take a part no matter what that looks like. And so I just want to encourage you all to find where you might be convicted to serve and step forward, because somebody will be excited and happy to embrace you in that role.
All right, you bloom where you're planted. I like that. That's worth hanging on to, right? So would you just share with us a little bit about the ministries that you oversee? What all are you over?
Well, I oversee the babies through 10, 11-year-olds, so birth through fifth grade. And right now, if you took all of the children that are in our program, which is just under 100 children, and if you put them in this sanctuary as we are worshiping on Sundays, we would probably fill up at least the center part. So I want to give you a perspective, because many of you, you don't see our children. Hey, kids, if you're in here today, shout out.
Make noise.
Woohoo! Because most of the times when you're worshiping, they're somewhere else. They're upstairs in the classrooms. They're downstairs in our fellowship hall classrooms. And so there's not that many children in the sanctuary during worship time and or during the service. And so it's very easy to think we don't have any children. But we actually have a very strong, thriving children's ministry program, and it's all-encompassing. Most of it happens on Sunday mornings, but we also have fun events that happen during the year, and we also have a kids' worship team that teaches children the value of worship, like Beth was talking about. They're not too young to learn how to worship God through song and through the arts. And that's what I oversee. And it's funny because we just had our parent meeting downstairs, and Ellie Tien spoke, and she said, see, I'm going to get chilled and I'm going to start crying, but she said, I'm a senior. That's where you see the impact, because I knew her when she was barely 3 years old, and she's been in our program since that time. And I know a lot of you kids here since you were in the nursery on our cradle roll, and if that's not generational, seeing the progeny of Christ, I don't know what else is. So that's the blessing of where I serve.
All right. Little warm-up sermon. That was pretty good. No, that was great. That was great. You blew it away. You were awesome. My wife and I are actually privileged to serve as volunteers with Cindy. And, man, I tell you what, you know, be planted somewhere and you'll blossom. Love being with those kids. You know, we get to serve them week in, week out. So if you're not serving somewhere, man, check something out, because there's so many good opportunities. And that brings us now to my friend Janet. Yeah, now, Janet, just a couple of years ago, you were not the director of youth ministry. Somehow that happened. Could you just tell us a little bit how you initially got involved with the youth ministry and how that's impacted you?
Well, I got involved because I used to serve on Front Door and Counting Ministry, and in my heart, I really knew God was calling me toward youth, because God would just show me. All of a sudden, your eyes are open when you see kids out in the city. You know, in the city, nothing's hidden, so you see everything. And I fought it, man, because I'm just like, I am not going to have anything to do with those kids. and not because they're bad or anything like that, but, you know, I was like a total geek in middle and high school, and I was not a mean girl. I was a victim, so I'm like, I will not have anything to do. I will not go back to school. And
redeem those years. Come on.
Yes. And so, I went on, and after a while, God was just like tugging on my heart, and I really felt like God was saying, time is short. And so I'm like, okay, I'll volunteer. So I, in my mind, I'm like, okay, I'll probably just like mentor, maybe spend a couple of hours a week with a young girl or something, nothing major. And then all of a sudden, I'm volunteering every week, because once I started going down and hanging out with them, I'm like, oh, I really like them. And I'm just like hanging out, and I'm like, yeah, I'll come back. I'll do it regularly. And so I started doing it, and then, for a while I was unemployed, so I was doing freelance work, so I had so much time, and I felt like every time I'm always thinking about them. What can we do for them? What can, make things better for them, et cetera, et cetera. I once spent over 24 hours with some high school girls. We had we went out on Friday, we then hung out, had a sleepover at my place, and go on, and then send them back to their families Saturday afternoon. I was done after that. But it was amazing. It was absolutely amazing, and I just keep going back for more. And so finally, then our previous youth director, middle school camp, Jacqueline Markham, she spared me. But I've been there. So anyway, I started serving, and then our youth director resigned and moved on to something else, and they asked if I could fill in the interim. And I'm like, are you sure? Because I really, it's like, no. I'm like, I know I need a job, but I don't need one that badly. But God, I'm never going to know what you want unless I just step out. And I said, okay. I claim to love these kids, and if I love them, I will step in the gap until they find someone new. And so I was freelancing 3 days a week somewhere else, and then on Thursdays and Fridays, I came to the office here. And James said, maybe you should apply for the job. I'm like, And finally, I'm like, okay, James, I will apply for the job. And I did, and just moved on, did whatever. And then 10 months later, here I am. And, and it wasn't like a consolation prize. Just to be clear, at the time that I was offered the job here, I was offered a full-time job at the place I was freelancing. And, it's a job I could do in my sleep. I've been doing it for, it was my career. But I really felt God said, this is where you should be. And I said, okay. And I love it. I love those kids. I can't imagine doing, anything else. And, we haven't even started the year, and already my heart is broken because, a couple kids are going to graduate out. And, I barely got over Ross and Cindy's daughter's graduation. So it's amazing, and I absolutely love it.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, let me tell you. Yeah, absolutely. Sometimes you think about, being involved in the ministry, and you think, well, I don't feel prepared enough for that, and that's lame. I'll tell you what, the first time I was invited to serve in the church that I first started going to when I first became a believer, I felt totally ill-equipped, and the wise pastor that was challenging me would not let me off the hook. He's like, look, you know, we've talked about this, and we know that you're the one. The Lord has chosen you. And I'm like, I think the Lord's wrong. But I'll tell you, in the moment, I wasn't ready. But once you say yes and you start, you know, following Christ where he's leading you, he equips you, right? He empowers you as you walk. He doesn't make you perfect for the job beforehand. No way. He asks you to step out in faith, and then he's going to, you know, fill your backpack as you go along so you have everything you need. So if you're hearing some of this and you think, well, no, I couldn't volunteer with, you know, children's ministry or youth, that ain't true. You talk to these ladies and you let them do the vetting. Ask the Lord what's going on. He'll empower you. Same with, the walk and worship and everything else downstairs. Talk to the Lord about that, because he's got something for you and he will empower you for it. All right, I think we're done now.
Say one thing to add to that. And the thing is it's not one size fits all. You know, you step out, you start small. Every one of our ministries has different facets of how you can volunteer, from once every month and a half to every Sunday to special events to camp to VBS to, you know, what Beth said with her worship. So don't feel like, oh, if I volunteer, now I'm going to be committed for 15 hours a week for the rest of my life. That's not the way it is. And we are very all flexible, working around very busy schedules that we know you all have.
Okay. Good word. Excellent. All right.
And I want to invite Haley and Brian up to share with us.
Hi, guys. So we're going to tell you our story of how we came here and got plugged in. We've been in the city now for about 5 years, and we've been here at Trinity for two. So before we came to Trinity, we moved around a lot in the city. So we were in one specific area, and we tried several churches. We were the typical church shoppers. We had a list. We were like, okay, we need a good sermon. We need praise and worship. We need to feel connected. Needless to say, we were not in the right headspace. We were lost. But God found us. I think Brian one day Google searched churches in the Upper East Side, and Trinity popped up, and we decided to come. And that first Sunday that we came, everything just felt great. From the first moment we walked through the door, it felt like home. And I can't explain to you what it was other than a God thing, but I felt like he was just leading us here. And that first Sunday, praise and worship was awesome. The sermon was great, but it was the little things that really stood out to us. I remember when Dr. Boyd was up here, and even James giving the announcement, he told a joke, and everyone laughed, and I thought that was great. And that doesn't really happen. You know, it's almost like a cold environment, but it should feel like that. And Dr. Boyd got up here, and he was just talking, and everyone was chiming in, and I was like, wow, this is a real community of believers, and they love each other and they're a family, you can tell. And after the service that day, by the way, fill out these cards if you're new. It's very important. We filled out this card, and then they had the newcomer sign up here, and it was Elizabeth Olson. And we went and talked to her, and Elizabeth isn't here anymore, but she was amazing, her and her husband. We talked to them, and immediately we felt connected. Her husband came over, and he connected with Brian, and then Dr. Boyd came over and introduced himself, and it was just perfect. And then after that day, James followed up with us on an email, and it wasn't just your standard, thank you for coming, we're glad you came, yada yada. It was very personalized, where he had basically taken the information, I guess, Elizabeth had given him, but it was very personalized. We felt at home here from the very first moment we walked through the door.
I'm sorry, I'm really distracted by how beautiful she is with this light coming down on her. Like, I'm sorry, guys. I had a whole thing planned out, but
like, I'm not shaking and nervous enough, and now you're trying to embarrass me.
No, I love you so much. So, my wife, in addition to being the most beautiful woman out there, is the most gracious woman, and said, you can take the part after that. And so I'm going to try to sum this up real quick. So after this amazing experience of coming to Trinity and getting really lucky with a Google search, I went downstairs on a Sunday shortly after that, and Brett Brown was down there talking about small groups, which are awesome. I'll be outside. And he said, hey, there's a small group really close to you guys on the Upper East Side. It's for men. It's, you know, 7 a.m. in the morning. And I was like, okay, that's really early, but that sounds awesome. So I went there. And then I'm going to try to go through the chain of events here. At that small group, I met Brad Darling. After going there for a couple months, Brad went to Asia, and he asked me if I could take over scheduling the communion servers. So I did that. Because of that, James invited me to the Trinity Leadership Initiative, and Dr. Boyd reached out and invited me to a fantasy football group. At the fantasy football group, I got to talk to James because he was sitting right next to me and tell him about how I'm in seminary and my passion and love for Christian apologetics. Because of that, he invited me to present at the Trinity Leadership dinner that he had invited me to and talk about apologetics. Through that, Janet was there at the Trinity Leadership Group and said, hey, I think you could talk to our high schoolers about apologetics. And I was like, sure, why not? High school sounds fun. And so I went and did that. And then I think Beth got to see me a couple times, and the dulcet tones of my voice were just something that, you know, no, I'm playing. She asked me to read scripture at a few services. And then all of a sudden, we were part of the body of Christ here at Trinity. If you had asked me a year and a half ago, I would have been like, wow, what amazing coincidences. I will never shortchange God in that way again. There is divine hand working in our lives. And not only was it that, it was people here at Trinity who were intentional in listening to God and reaching out and making us feel like they wanted us here, showing the love for one another that is the way that Christ will know us. And it was through all that. I'd love to say that change happened overnight, but it didn't. It took time. Human hearts are hard. But through all this, through our time at Trinity, being a part of the body of Christ and not just being believers in a city that's very easy to feel alone, our marriage has gotten significantly better. We prioritize God, and he's made this beautiful thing. You know, I am married to this amazing woman, and I have loved her so much, but when we shifted and prioritized God and prioritized what we could do, he has worked in our lives personally. Together, we've had the opportunities to talk to people, to share, to be part of a community, and that is something that you can't manifest unless you're part of the body of Christ. You can't do it on your own, and Trinity has become such an important part of our life, and what we can do for God through Trinity is something I'll never see as a coincidence or take for granted again, and join a small group. That's what you get. You get out of
there. Cards.
And fill out the yellow cards. Thank you, guys.
Yeah. So I have a couple things to explain, I guess. Good morning. My name is Dave Page. I'm one of the elders here at Trinity. And before I get into this, I don't know if it was mentioned before why Pastor Keith and James aren't here today for interesting reasons. That's why Ross and I were asked on Thursday to kind of pinch hit here. And Beth was gracious with late night calls and getting us up to speed. But everybody's good. Keith is down in Austin, I think, actually preaching this morning, or he was invited to stay over at a church in Austin where he's investigating opportunities. And James and his family have an extended vacation in Belize because the airports in Miami are closed. And so they are safe. They are stuck on a tropical island for a few more days. So this is, and is Matt Yoder here? Because I'm going to call him out, too. Sitting in the shadows over there, I see. So Matt and I were the losers the last 2 years of the Fantasy Football League that Brian mentioned. You may have remembered Keith was up here a couple years ago. I think that was Easter Sunday, so that's worse than this. But so we are paying our penance for that. If you watched Thursday Night Football, it's a little bit sweeter, but nonetheless, I'm going to get us out of here quickly because I have to take a shower before the game starts after this. I also got the kids' version of the jersey, so, you know, anyway, so 2 weeks ago when James was concluding our series on the book of Hebrews, he mentioned that the way to evaluate whether a church is great or not is to determine whether or not that leadership keeps the message of the gospel central to everything that we do. And we at Trinity vocalize God's gospel call via our mission statement, which is that Trinity is an international and multi-generational community dedicated to making disciples of Jesus Christ who are growing in faith, obedience, and joy as we go out to advance God's kingdom. Trinity is in a season of transition, and with that transition can come some uncertainty and often a natural tendency to become more inward-focused and potentially miss the opportunities that God has orchestrated right outside our doors. Which is why next week we'll kick off our church-wide series for the fall called Love Where You Live, which will focus on the going out aspect of our mission, because we want to continue doing that mission of going out that God has called us to. But today our focus is on building up and equipping our community here to be prepared for that call. And so you've heard a lot about some of the ministries that you can be involved in, and I'm going to run through a few more in a few minutes. But what I want you to hear is this is not just a laundry list of spots that we need to fill. These are opportunities for you as the body of Christ to utilize your gifting and build that kingdom together. As an elder, I know that the leadership of Trinity believes very strongly that everything that we do should flow out of what Christ has done for us on the cross. And we find that when we keep Christ in the center of everything that we do, everything else kind of flows naturally. And I hope that you've noticed this thread running through the testimonies, the pictures behind me, the ministry highlights, the songs that we sing. We're celebrating what Christ has done because we know that it changes us from the inside out. It enables us to fully utilize the gifting that God has given us, the way that he's wired us, and equips us to live our lives with purpose and significance. Our hope and expectation is that anyone who experiences the worship or joins our prayer ministry or engages with our youth or children, serves in our Welcome and Connect ministry out front or in the walk, that they come face to face with the love of Jesus and that it will change them and us collectively for the better. Was that the Gandhiist that was up there a minute ago? I'm going to be distracted because I have the pictures too. We want all our ministries here at Trinity to be catalysts for the transforming power of the gospel. And while I can't speak for everyone, I think we've seen that manifested in what we've heard so far. In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul talks about the unique spiritual giftings that are bestowed by the Spirit on every person who is part of the body of Christ, and how putting those gifts and aptitudes into action is edifying, not just for that person, but for building up the body at large. So as I spend a few more minutes giving highlights of a couple other ministries here at Trinity, again, I hope you'll see this more than a list, but instead be sensitive to the opportunities where God might be calling you to utilize your gifting or to step into something that might be a stretch opportunity for you, where you might be able to find or adapt your part in his story. And if you hear something that, gets your motor running, I'm going to gloss over this stuff relatively quickly. There are going to be representatives downstairs with some more information and sign-ups and ways for you to get involved. So, our Mercy Ministry specializes in reaching out to the elderly, single parents, and encouraging the sick, particularly those who find themselves in a situation where they can't make it to Trinity but want to stay connected. Leah Smith and Marlene Ortega kind of organized that ministry. And I was told a story that a few months ago, Wilma, who's in the back, had a hip replacement. And a team had the opportunity to visit Wilma while she was doing her rehab. And I hope this is true because I got this from James. But I was told that she felt like a new woman with that new hip, and while she was there, the team actually made arrangements with the beautician for her to get her hair styled so that she would come out, you know, feeling like $1 million. The assistance that we provide through this ministry is extremely biblical, but also life-giving for everyone involved. Our men's ministry is dedicated to helping men grow in their love and understanding of God and to reach their full potential as leaders, husbands, fathers, colleagues, and friends. One example is the Tuesday night Bible study that meets right up there at 7 o'clock. It's actually where I first plugged in when I started attending Trinity in 2010. The motto of that group is trust and obey, because we feel like if we can get those two things right, then everything else will fall into place. I know that men are independent and generally pressed for time, and we make excuses for why we can't pour into stuff like that, but it is vital for men who are trying to lead their home well and lead in their workplaces well and lead in their church well that they prioritize time to be iron sharpening other iron and to be the iron that is getting sharpened. Speaking of, one of the things that we have going on in October is a men's retreat. It's the 13th through 15th. And when James first mentioned this a couple weeks ago, in August, 2 months ahead of time, they had a leader, a speaker, a worship leader, reservations at Camp of the Woods, and an online sign-up, which to me didn't sound at all like a men's retreat, because it's usually, hey guys, we're going camping next weekend, if you want to come, get your tent. Some of you know what I'm talking about. But I would encourage you guys to step into that. It's going to be an awesome time away. On the women's side, we have two ongoing women's ministries that you can plug into. They both meet Tuesday night as well. So I would say if you're, you know, a couple, young or old, that's a great time for, you know, you and your spouse to come and kind of split up and do that together but separate. My wife and I used to do that, and I thought that was a really cool opportunity. The Tuesday night women's ministry gathers to do a Bible study, to connect, pray, and encourage one another. And they often identify meaningful ways to serve together, too. The community that has been fostered goes well beyond one night a week, though. For example, a close friend of one of the members was stricken with cancer, and the women in that group were intentional about reaching out and connecting with her. They wrote cards and had a dedicated time of prayer, specifically that God would meet her and be her sustenance in that time of need. But if Tuesdays don't work well for you, there's a Wednesday women's Bible study that meets upstairs as well. That group consists of women of all ages, but is intentional about catering to mothers, and I think they also offer child care, if I'm not mistaken. Shifting to missions, we're very committed to missions here at Trinity. When we look internationally, we strategically support missionaries that are serving all over the world who are aligned with our mission. This includes India, where we're reaching out to homeless children, Northern Africa, where we're engaging with Muslim communities, Cote d'Ivoire, where we're supporting the Institute for the Training of Harvest Workers, where 14 students just graduated, 85% of them grew up in Muslim households. So it's really exciting to see the power of the gospel at work in that type of community. And many of you know that our Rwanda missions is very critical to what we do here at Trinity. It's a part of our going out. Some of you are aware and were involved in our All In for Rwanda campaign, which over the summer raised $60,000 to continue supporting our vocational school in the Kigeme Diocese, as well as the Trinity Gatanu Primary School. And if you're trying to understand, you know, what that actually means, there are incredible videos on Trinity's website that show these kids just going bonkers when they hear that they get to go to school in an area that they just didn't have the opportunity to do so before. Beyond that, we've been taking teams there since 2004, and I have seen people who step into that ministry grow their compassion and develop their leadership skills and bring that back here to Trinity in New York City in ways that wouldn't have been possible without that. So while there are incredible opportunities to serve overseas, for most of us, New York City is our primary mission field. And Trinity has had a long partnership with Hope for New York. And in the last year or so, we have been trying to focus our efforts on four ministries through Hope for New York. They do a lot of the legwork in organizing these so that we can kind of just step in and fill those opportunities. But the four ministries are Crew, Inner City, Father's Heart, the Bowery Women's Mission Center, and the Bowery Mission Women's Center, and the World Vision Storehouse. And every week in our bulletin, we try to highlight one of those and provide opportunities that you can step into. I love going to Father's Heart. I've been a couple times, and I've been plenty of times with teams from Trinity, but one thing I thought was neat was last year, as part of the Global Volunteer Month of the firm that I worked at, I was actually able to partner with a few people at work who, through Redeemer or other networks, had been to Father's Heart, and we got a group of people from our workplace that didn't go to church, had never been there, to come and serve with us and see what being the hands and feet of Jesus really looks like, which is something that's a little difficult to do, you know, during the 9 to 5 or whatever hours some of us work. But also when we talk about local missions, right here at Trinity, I'm not going to go through them again because Beth highlighted them, but there are so many ways to utilize your gifting here that help things run seamlessly. And if you're one of these people that, you know, like, Fred loves to talk to people, like, nonstop. He's not like me. If he's not talking to somebody, he's just bursting the seams. If that's you, I'd encourage you to stand out front and welcome people as they're coming in. If you're somebody that likes to serve behind the scenes, the counting ministry, you never have your name called out. You never have to make a public speech. You don't even have to talk to anybody. You just have to be able to add, really. But, you know, there is something for every unique way that people are wired. And so I would encourage you to avail yourself of, you know, where you might be able to fit in. And let me just end on small groups again, because I think that underlies a lot of what we're talking about here. You've heard a couple stories where people started in their small group and they were encouraged to step into, a different role here or a different role there. We at Trinity believe that small groups, doing life with one another beyond just the Sunday morning, is kind of a non-negotiable part of being a part of the body of Christ. And that's not coming from me or the Trinity leadership. That's how Jesus lived his life. He had his group of disciples, but he had his inner core of Peter, James, and John that he was very intentional and you know, spent a lot of time with. And there was fruit born out of that. And so if you're not in a small group, we feel like you're selling yourself short and you're not experiencing the fullness of what it means to be part of the church. So starting on September 24th, all our small groups are going to be engaging in this church-wide study called Love Where You Live. My wife and I will be hosting a child-friendly one right down the street during second service, so we can finish first service, walk down the street together, we'll have a little bit of food, and we'll end before football. So, but again, I would encourage everybody to sign up outside if you're not already in a group. You can talk to Brian or me if you don't hate the Patriots too much. Again, what I want to reiterate is this is, I don't want this to sound like a laundry list of things. We don't do these things here at Trinity just to do them, but we have such a diverse community of people who are gifted and equipped in so many different ways that we want to provide opportunity and a window for people to utilize those to glorify God and to build the kingdom of God on the Upper East Side through Trinity. And so my encouragement to you is, you know, God's going to build his kingdom with or without me. But me pouring in and utilizing the gifting where I feel like God has called me to is, I hope, helping to build that kingdom. But it also encourages me and builds my faith and challenges me and helps me grow. I would not be standing here today if there wasn't a Tuesday night small group where I met, you know, guys like Dave Kim and Greg and I'm never up here without crying, in a way. I just can't avoid it. But, you know, guys, when I look at the last 7 years of my life where God has, like Brian talked about, you know, orchestrated these things, and I've just availed myself to do different things that stretch me and utilize my gifting, and there's no way to replace that. And so that is our encouragement to you. If you're doing something that maybe you feel like God's calling you to step away from and turn and pivot and do something different, awesome. If you are sitting here on Sundays and you feel like this is the time where God's calling you to say, you know, in this new season, I'm going to take a step out and give it a shot, awesome. That's our encouragement to you today. And so I will pray for us real quick, and then we will continue in our worship with at the table. So let me pray for us. Father, we thank you that you love us. We thank you that you are with us. And we thank you that you invite us to be part of what you are doing at Trinity, in this city, and throughout the world, Lord. We thank you that you have wired us each individually and in a special way that you have already arranged good works for us to do. Father, I pray that your Spirit would do a good work, continue to do a good work in us, and spur us on to stretching ourselves, to serving in ways that may be new and fun, or just leaning in a little bit more in this season, Father. We thank you that transition, as Ross said, provides opportunity, and we are all in that you are going before us in this season, and Father, you have great things in store for Trinity. We thank you that we get to be a part of it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.